Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Hebrews with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave takes us through Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 4, where we will be looking at the story of Cain and Abel. You can either come to God like Cain or like Abel. One is filled with blessing and the other is full of hardship. No matter how you come to the Lord, Jesus is full of grace and long-suffering, always reaching his hand out in love. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Hebrews 11, verse 4.
God had respect, not because it was by blood versus by ground necessarily, but because he did it by faith. He gave in accordance to the instruction that he had been given through faith. He did what God had required of him, and God respected it. God looked well upon it. But unto Cain and to his offering, verse 5, God had not respect. Listen to me, please. It's strong and it's graphic in the original language. It's this: God wouldn't even look at it. Now, you read these things and you might think, man, the Lord is being awfully harsh here. It seems as though he favors Abel over Cain. It's not it at all. Listen, it doesn't seem at all that this would be the first instance that these two boys would have sacrificed. This is not the first time. This is not something that Cain didn't know. This is Cain deliberately disobeying how God says that he's to be approached. This is one appropriating the will of God by faith and another saying, I'm not doing what God says I'm supposed to do. I believe in God, but I don't believe God. I'm going to sacrifice to God, but I'm not going to sacrifice to God the way that God says I should sacrifice to God. In essence, this is a man at the epitome of pride that is saying this, to some degree at least. He's saying this to the effect of this. He's saying, I'm not even really guilty of sin, because if he really believed that he was guilty of sin and that there was a Savior going to be provided through God, then he would do the prescribed prescription that God had given for his sin to be washed and cleansed away. But he's saying this, I'm not doing it. I'm going to offer to God of my own works, of my own sweat, of my own labor. These two boys are where all of the religions of the world, they're the heads that all the religions of the world flow from. One, Abel, substitutionary atonement. I got nothing I could bring. It's got to be through the blood of a sacrifice. And then the other, religion and works. Whatever religious system that you want to come up with out there besides Jesus comes from this head, Cain, the way of Cain. I'll approach God. I'll relink myself to God. I'll get back to God. Not the way that Adam said, my dad. Not the way that Eve said, my mom. Not the way that my younger brother, Abel, is doing. But my way. I don't want to kill an animal. Blood is disgusting to me. I don't want to be around those things. I know that I once did those behaviors. I once performed those works, but not any longer. I'm going to do it according to my own thinking. You see that there? That you need to see that there. Otherwise, you're going to read through this here and you're going to say, this seems awfully harsh. This seems awfully ridiculous. Lord, it's not ridiculous at all. He's disobeying because it didn't make sense. So the Lord wouldn't even look upon the sacrifice. And the Lord says to Cain, he says, why are you angry, verse 6? And why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, listen, if you offer correctly is the Septuagint. If you would stop being disobedient, because the Lord is saying this to some of you this morning. The message is simple, as messy as we're making it for just a few moments. The message is simple. We come to God by faith. Abel is held up as an example of that. We come to God by faith. Despite any ridicule, rejection, or persecution, we come to God by faith in his son, Jesus Christ. That's it. And some of you this morning, God might be saying, as he said to Cain, why are you trying to approach me and come to me on your own merits, on your own works, like things that you have done or haven't done compared to other people? And he says to Cain here, you know, why is your countenance the way that it is? Because you know better, Cain. You know what's right, and you know that you're deliberately doing what's not right. And you don't have to do that, he says. Like, there's an opportunity right now, God says, even after you've already offered something that is not acceptable to me, there's an opportunity for you to stop dead in your tracks and try it again. That's grace right there on display. It's the same for some of you today. Because, again, never just teaching the Bible for information. We're teaching the Bible for life transformation. It's the same thing for everybody in this room today. This is not some story of antiquity that has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with you. It's a heart check. It's a soul check. How are you coming to God? How are you approaching God? The devil would love for you to be Cainish in your approach. Because then he can mess you up. He can condemn you. He can rip you off. He can rob you. He can steal from you your joy. Even if you really are saved, even if you really are going to one day be in the presence of God when you leave this side of eternity and enter into that side, in the meantime, if you start to become works-oriented, he can totally bombard you with depression. It will overwhelm you. Your whole Christian experience will become dry. Your whole Christian experience will become very monotonous. Your whole Christian experience will be sort of grievous to you. It will not be light. It will not be airy. It will not be what Jesus intended it to be when he said, come and link up with me. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. It won't be that. And the Lord would say to you, as he said to Cain, because there's no changing in him. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He would say to you, he would say to me, why are you doing this? You know better. You can't ever relink yourself to God in your own efforts. You can't ever outperform with good works over your bad works. Even if you master it on the outside, you know that inwardly your heart makes a convert of your mind, and your heart is defiled, and your mind is defiled, and you go to bed with yourself. You know who you really are. So why are you playing this game, Cain? Or whoever you are here this morning. Don't you understand, he says, that sin, middle of verse 7, lieth at the door. And unto you shall be his desire. But you, Cain, you are to rule over him. God's rebuking Cain for knowing what well was and not doing it. Listen to me, please. God is rebuking Cain for knowing what well was and not doing it like Abel did by faith. No difference in these boys. Literally, I mean, the closest two individuals that have ever walked planet Earth in their likeness. Not a difference that you'd probably even be able to recognize. But God does. And God looks at them just like he looks at you and I this morning. X-ray vision looks right into the depths of us. It says, I can't honor you if you come to me any other way besides through my son, Jesus Christ. Now listen, when you go to the doctors, you want your doctor to be exclusive in his prescription. You don't want your doctor to say to you, hey, you're having chest pain? Go home and do whatever feels right to you about it. Whatever, it doesn't matter. I don't want to step on your toes. You just do whatever feels good to you to come up with a remedy for what you're feeling here. You want the doctor to be absolute, don't you? You want the doctor to say to you, this is what, according to medical science, according to testimony, this is what you have to do. If you want the pain to subside, if you want to be healed of whatever it is that's plaguing you, and then you want to take your doctor literally, right? And you want to go home and do it the exact time of day that he says to do it, the exact method that he tells you to do it. You want to do it to the T. It's only with following Jesus that there seems to be this discrepancy for some people of why does it have to be exactly that way? Well, because your soul depends on it. You're not God. There is a God, and you are not him, and I am not him. Great theology. Master it. There is a God, and then there is everybody else. Okay, that's it. I mean, you need to resolve that this morning. There is a God, and then there is everybody else. And we have no business to tell him how things are to be done, especially how we are to approach him. So instead of getting all caught up, and I can't believe that this is the only way, the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, how about you celebrate that there is a way, and it's inviting to every single human being on the planet today. For Abel then, it was one man a lamb was for. One family it would evolve into when Moses would come on the scene. There's a lamb for a family. But then the lamb, some 2,000 years ago on Good Friday, shed his blood so that that lamb could be for every single man and woman to ever live. It doesn't matter if you think it's a good idea or not. It doesn't matter if you can get your mind around it. I keep hearing that in a culture today. I can't get my mind around it. It's illogical. What's illogical about it? It allows God to be the just one and the justifier. God became man, fully God, fully man. And he took on humanness so that God can pour out his judgment toward human beings for their sins without us ever having to be touched with the wrath of God. Jesus became sin for us. He became that very sin. He who knew no sin became sin for us. For what purpose? So that God's wrath could be poured out upon it. And another human couldn't do it because he's the only sinless one. And only a sinless one can die for sinners. He became sin for us in being the sinless one. So all of the wrath of God can be satisfied. It was poured out on his son. Abel's sacrifice 6,000 years ago spoke of that. Moses' sacrifice and all the Levites and their sacrifices through the ages spoke of that. John the Baptist said of Jesus in John chapter 1, "Behold the Lamb of God. He takes away the sins of the world." That Lamb has done that. It doesn't matter if you can wrap your mind around that. It doesn't matter if you can intellectually accept that. You're not called to an intellectual belief. You're called to faith. And it is intellectual, actually. It is reasonable, as Paul would say. It's a reasonable faith. It's not drinking Kool-Aid. It's not joining yourself to a cult. It's believing in the sinless Son of God who has shown himself faithful to what his word declares of him time and time again, namely this, his tomb is empty. There's one way to God. There's one way. It's Abel's way, not Cain's way. And it breaks God's heart. If you're not hearing the tone of God in this, you're missing the whole story. It breaks God's heart when people go the way of Cain. Because it's insulting to a degree that you and I can't even fathom. It's dissing the Lord of glory. When man rejects his provision of salvation and tries to do it better. Cain. You know what well is. Do it. Well, the story goes on and it tells us here that Cain, instead, as he's talking with his brother Abel in verse 8, in the field, that Cain allows his sin to get the best of him, just like the Lord warned. It was knocking at the door, waiting to pounce on him, and he rises up against Abel, his brother, and he slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" And he said, "I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper?" And he said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries to me from the ground." Just like the author of Hebrews tells us that Abel's still speaking. God testifies of this back thousands of years ago. He says, I can hear your brother's voice ascending from the ground. And now you are cursed from the earth, and you have opened her mouth to receive your brother's blood from thy hand. When you till the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. Listen here, a fugitive and a vagabond shall you be in the earth. Listen, the earth in effect rejected Cain as Cain had rejected God and his brother Abel. Isn't that interesting to you? Cain, as you have rejected me and the testimony of me and my ways and your brother's practice of those things by faith, as you have rejected those truths, I have rejected you and the earth will reject you, which speaks of your efforts to reach me. And this is now the consequences of such. You tried to wipe your brother's voice off the scene. Maybe it was too much conviction for you. Maybe you just couldn't handle the fact, out of jealousy, that I had received his act of faith. Whatever it would be, you sought to destroy my voice for what is good, but it won't work. And the same thing could be said of Jesus when he crushed the head of the serpent on the cross. The devil thought, this is it, it's over. This whole Jesus way, this whole I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man is coming to the Father, has come, will come, except through him. I can finally be done with that. Men are going to perish because the devil and his minions know their destiny, and they do not want you to go to glory where they once were, knowing that their destiny is destruction in hell. So they are on a mission to steal, kill, and destroy, and to silence the voice of Abel, if you would. But God says it's never going to happen. The devil's not going to win. Jesus has already won. You can't silence the voice of Abel, because the voice of Abel echoes the voice of God. And God is still speaking, if you would, more greater than Abel speaking. But what Abel says is what God said. And it's this: you come to God by faith in Jesus Christ. It's only by his grace. It's not your merits. It's not your works. It's nothing that you can do out of religion to approach him. You come to God by faith in Jesus Christ, his Son. He substituted for you on the cross. He paid your price in full. Accept it, walk in it, enjoy it. That's what the message is this morning. No matter who is coming against you, even family. No matter what brother says about you or sister says about you. Listen, for some of you this morning, this is super touchy because it's what spouse says about you. We got a lot of great brothers and sisters that go to this fellowship and their spouses ridicule them for it. And I can't even imagine what that must feel like. But I can tell you this with a pure conscience. We pray for you every single week, whoever you are, that God would strengthen you and sustain you as you take a seat by yourself, longing so greatly that your spouse was next to you or your children were next to you. Some of you, you're paying a price far greater than what we could even fathom. Your kids tell you you're nuts, you've lost your mind. They've stopped talking to you. Maybe you've lost your job. Maybe you don't get invited to family gatherings. Thanksgiving's around the corner, Christmas, and you're not going to be at the family parties. Or if you are, you're going to be ostracized. Abel stands up and speaks to you today. This is why he's brought to the stand by the author in Hebrews 11 to say this. It's by faith. It's by endurance. Even if it's unto death, God will honor you. Yeah, I mean, because that's the extreme of this hatred here. Even if it's all the way to death, God will honor your testimony. It's a sermon that's still preaching. This is the way of righteousness. It's the way of obedience. This is the way that we come to God. This is the witness and testimony that we receive from God when we do it the way he's called us to. We obtain favor. It's passive. It has nothing to do with us. It's a testimony that God puts upon us, not for being sinless. Aren't you thankful this morning? It's not a testimony that's given only if you're sinless. Only if you're scotch clean from errors. It's not that. It's only when you come to God the way that God has told you to come. Abel's still speaking. I hope that every person here this morning, by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, is able to hear what he's saying. Come to God through faith, by grace, through his Son, Jesus Christ. Let's stand and pray. We'll call the worship team forward to lead us in a closing song. And for some of you this morning, I understand that this is a very difficult thing. You've come out of different religions that have mandated. You got to work, 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 work. You got to perform, 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 perform. Some of you have come out of different legalistic backgrounds in Christendom, in Christianity, where you've just been, every time you come to church, man, instead of getting fed, you're getting beat by the pastor. Just, it's works oriented. It's legalistic. You got to look this way, act this way, talk this way, and the joy of your salvation is gone. You've been in the way of Cain instead of the way of Abel. Listen, elders and pastors will be up front after the service. I'll do my best to get to the foyer. Come see one of us and talk one of us. If this is more personal for you than the majority here, for some of you, you're saying, I can't overcome this way of thinking. I'm stuck in a rut. I'm stuck in bondage. Listen, Jesus wants to set you free. He wants it to be a light and airy and easy, beautiful relationship with him. He wants to restore to you your joy. Not just your joy personally, but your joy in that you bring him joy. You bringing him joy gives you strength. But if you don't think you ever bring him joy and you think you're just this problem child, That's all you've ever been told. You're a problem child. Man, you, all the angels in heaven, when you get there, they're going to say, oh, you really work, man. That's the stupidest thing ever. You know, we're all the same. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. We're all the same. The angels aren't exhausted by you. Jesus isn't exhausted by you. Some of you got to receive this as a word from God this morning. Jesus is madly in love with you. He knew what he was getting into when he called you to the kingdom. He who started the good work, he will be faithful to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's doing it. He's doing it. Just keep showing up. That's what this hall of faith is for. Just keep showing up, you in the back. You didn't hear a thing I said the whole service, and it doesn't even matter because Jesus loves you, and you need to hear this now. You just keep showing up. This is the hall of endurance. Just keep showing up. We need this, man. We're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses cheering us on. Just keep showing up. Jesus loves you. I love you. Our staff here loves you. We pray for you. We put everything that we have into this church for you. We love you for Jesus. We love you. You're going to do it. You're going to finish. God does not let failure have its final say over any of his kids. You're going to finish. You might have some bruises and bumps. You might have some scars. It might not be an easy go. In fact, let me rephrase it. It won't be an easy go. But you're going to finish. And you're going to receive, you're going to obtain the same testimony that God gave to Abel. He's going to declare your faith excellent because you put your trust in Jesus Christ. Father, I pray over your people this morning, especially those who are seriously struggling. God, I pray that you would strengthen them. You brought us to this portion of your word, God. It's like living water, Lord, that just stirs and speaks to our souls, God. It's like green pastures in the midst of the desert, God. You brought us here to drink. You brought us here to eat. You brought us here to meditate, God, to chew on these things all through the day, all through the week. God, if Abel finished, we could finish. So I pray, God, that you'd strengthen us this morning. Strengthen our resolve, Jesus. Continue to increase our faith. We go from faith to faith. And we declare that over ourselves this morning, God, as you have done for us and of us. We love you, Lord. You're worthy of all of our praise. Let this closing song put a smile on your face, we ask. And it's in Jesus' name all God's people said, amen. Let's sing to the Lord.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. During this unprecedented time in our nation, we are adhering to the guidelines set up by our government to be able to conduct services while still keeping our fellowship as safe as possible. If you would like to know how to attend a service or any other news here at the church, we would encourage you to go to Instagram, Facebook, and ccwestside.com to find out more about what is going on currently at the church. If you are unable to attend a service, we will be continuing to live stream our services so you can be blessed in the comfort of your own home. If you do not have access to social media, we would encourage you to call the church office and someone will be happy to answer any questions you may have. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. That's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. In Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It's our prayer at CC Westside that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. My blood and water.